Hey guys, it's your lady gang, Jack Vanek, Kelty Knight, and Becca Tobin. Thank you so much for subscribing on iTunes, and thanks for supporting the great sponsors who make it possible for us to have this much fun with you every single week for free.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the lady gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The lady gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the lady gang. I am Becca Tobin, and I realized something hilarious this week when I listened to the episode. I'm the only one who says my job and also podcaster. And I think the reason is because I can't just say actress, and this will go into my good week, bad week, because I have a hard time even saying actress at this point, because, like, really, what have I done? So I have to add in a little zhuzh with podcaster.
But now it's so bad because everybody has a podcast that, like, a podcaster has no weight anymore.
Yeah. So what am I?
A blogger?
Who am I? I'm not even a blogger. Like, who am I?
You're at Becca.
At Becca.
You are at Becca. Oh,
you're a one-name Instagram. Okay. You and Nina.
Well.
Don't brag.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so I'm Becca, actress.
Podcaster.
Quasi-actress. Across from me is Kelty Knight of Entertainment Tonight.
Two-time Emmy nominee.
Losing.
Lose.
But, like, when you say Kelty Knight of Entertainment Tonight, that is such a legit.
That's pretty legit.
I know.
Like, business card.
Yeah.
I'm
okay.
Important.
Well, anyways.
And I have many leather-bound books.
To my right, Jack Vanek, also very boss babe, who owns Jack Vanek Clothing.
Yeah, but if you don't know who I am, then I'm irrelevant.
You
too.
Own a clothing company.
No.
I own a small home that no one knows about. You can't buy it from it. You can't take pictures of it.
You need to start selling things in your home.
God, you guys.
You have a great shoe collection.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who am I?
Not mother fair, to Becca. I don't have mother.
You have the most Instagram followers. You could say Instagram it girl.
That sounds awful. That's not
That's
even real.
Worse than...
I'm kind of on the B list of Instagram numbers. Like, I just can't get
don't
to
tell
the
Kelty that.
I need
like
to
really
peak.
Really you're sad about your 800,000 followers?
I'm okay. Not sad about it. I'm just saying I'm mediocre across the board and I don't have anything impressive to say.
Okay, this is so sad. We need to move on.
Yeah. We should, right?
Girls, believe in yourself.
Okay.
Super inspiring.
I won't do a question of the week because it's just too depressing.
It's too sad.
It's time for
good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
I'm starting because I'm on a tangent. I'm on a roll. So here's my bad week and good week is all in one. So my bad week, I go into Twitter. I rarely get on Twitter, but with all the stuff happening in the world, I want to see what Bethany Frankel's doing at every moment because she's literally saving the world like Captain Planet.
Yeah.
And I just love her. So I go on all the time to see where she's at. And then I just went to my mentions, which I very rarely do. And that this one tweet jumps out at me. Holy crap. Becca got a job? Oh, wait. No, sorry. Holy crap. Becca got an acting job. I've been wondering when we'd see her on screen again. Me too, babe. Me too.
That's an incredible tweet. We need
Holy
to frame it.
Crap.
That's like a Jimmy Kimmel mean tweet.
It is.
But it was nice. They said congratulations at the end, but it felt
they were just
a little
genuinely
bit
shocked and excited.
That's what is
they
upsetting.
Shocked.
I wish that it had been less shock, maybe more excitement. So that acting job this person is referring to. This is part of my good week, because I have good news, you guys. On November 11th, you can tune in and watch A Song for Christmas. I am starring in a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yes, bitch.
And I want you all to watch it, because I don't want to receive another tweet like that for the rest of my life, really. And if you guys watch the movie and you really like it, maybe you should tweet Hallmark. Maybe not that tweet, but something along the lines of, oh my gosh, Becca Tobin is amazing.
Like another
or best actress I've ever seen.
You need your own like series over there, because Cameron Matheson, my coworker, has Murder, She Baked with Candace Cameron.
I know.
And they make so
is
many
that on
of
Hallmark?
Them.
Hallmark?
I need, yes, it's Hallmark.
Hallmark is like a very, very like, nope. addictive, like not everyone's talking about it. It's not like E, but like they have crazy ass fans.
Oh yeah, no.
And like once you're
the
in,
viewership,
aren't you in? Like don't, no, the same it, people do a lot of the movies.
I love at Christmas watching a Hallmark movie every night.
Oh yeah.
I love the Hallmark Christmas movies. I won't love this one because I'm in it, but They are
great. Keep your eyes open like Clockwork Orange and make you just
I have a watching party and serve snacks.
How about this? If enough Lady Gangers tweet myself and Hallmark, don't forget to tweet Hallmark. we should get to a number or get it trending, and I'll do something insane if it gets trending.
Yeah.
What should I do?
Show your butthole.
Done it.
I know.
That's not even shocking. We got to think about it. Like a live stream?
A live stream. How about this?
You'll do a video with everyone's name in a song.
Ooh.
No,
it's
no.
Like the guy that
everyone's
wrote you a song.
Name who tweets about it? Uh-huh. That could be millions.
You know, you hope so. Probably be like five.
Kelty got trending.
I did.
Yeah, let's get Becca trending.
Get me trending.
Becca on Hallmark.
Okay.
Christmas with Becca? Xmas with Becca? No.
No.
You're Jewish.
That's okay.
Needs to say Hallmark.
We're going to think of this later.
Okay. Hallmark times Becca?
Hallmark X.
Becca for Hallmark?
Yeah.
Becca for president. Just kidding. How about
Happy Beckmas. Or
yes.
Or do you want Hallmark in it?
Hallmark Beckmas?
You need Hallmark in it.
It's a Hallmark Beckmas.
Nobody's going to have any idea what that means.
I think you do Hallmark times Becca.
Okay.
That's cute.
Hallmark times Becca. If it gets trending on November 11th, I will donate $1,000 to
my pocket.
Same.
To which
Bethany Frankel's charity.
To Bethany Frankel.
Oh, that's good.
I'll donate $1,000 of Kelty's money to of my own money.
Cool. I'm going to have to write you an IOU.
To Bethany Frankel. Done.
I like it. Okay, I like it.
Thanks, guys.
That's a great good week, bad
Woo!
Week.
I'm so excited. Can I go next?
Oh.
So I'm in New York. Okay, bad week. I'm in New York, and I am feeling super fly, and, like, I have a real great outfit on. And I didn't call the paparazzi myself because, honestly, I've done that so many times now that it's not even exciting anymore. Like, it's kind of like, oh, my God, I have to, like, get ready for the paparazzi. Mm-hmm. So I was walking into this movie junket, and there's, like, this big hotel. And I'm walking outside, and, like, four paparazzi guys are, like, looking at me to try to figure out if I'm anyone. And then the guy's like, hey, Kelty. And I was like, oh, my God, they want me. And he goes, your fly's down.
Shut up.
They knew who you were, though.
No one took the picture.
No.
That's good, though.
They didn't even want the embarrassing fly down picture of me, which could be in, like, the glamour don't section.
That's true.
I know.
Celebs, they're just like us.
Right. Her fly's down. Not even going to sell there. Not even humiliating.
I feel like your fly is down often.
Often. I'll tell you why. I have a large vagina, and I've talked about this before.
Vagina.
No, it's like, you know when your, like, cleavage comes out of your top a little? I don't know what
How
that's like.
How did you say that?
Cleavage?
Oh, you thought you said cleavage.
You know when your cleavage, like, comes out of your top, I imagine? Like, that's what happens with my vagina. Like,
so it pushes your zipper open?
But the zipper is not where your vagina is.
You guys,
the zipper is,
like
on your stomach.
I'm 35. There's a gunt
fupa?
There. Well, you call it a fupa. I call it a gunt. A gut cunt.
Jesus.
A gunt. And it, like, pushes my zipper down.
Maybe
and I
just go up a size in jeans, no?
I can't.
It'll hurt too much.
It'll hurt emotionally.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
What was your good week? That they
good
knew
week.
Your name?
Got a new... No. I got a new saying.
Oh, what is it?
From the woman who brought you, pass the salt and...
Did you think this up yourself?
Yes. Pass the salt is when someone's salty. What else do we have? Pass the salt.
Of yours?
Of Sexico. I'm bringing you a new saying. Roll the tape. Roll the tape is so good. So
use it in a sentence. Let's see if you botch this.
Do you know what it means? I made it up.
I feel like I know.
I feel like I know what it means.
It's like... she did not say that. Like, I can't believe that Becca said that about Jack when she went to the bathroom. You need to roll the tape.
Well, the thing is now people have tapes to roll because they film everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Just roll the tape. Like, it's like, where's the evidence?
Yes.
Roll the tape.
I wish I could roll the tape on so many people.
Oh, thank you.
Guys.
Becca, is this the first time you've ever accepted one of my...
Yeah. And
you actually did it correctly.
Yeah, you did.
For once.
You did.
Thank you.
You're improving.
Yeah.
Really? 100 episodes in, I'm finally learning
one correct dictionary word.
Thank you.
Congrats.
So proud. Roll the tape, Jack.
All right. So, my...
Roll the tape. Like, roll up the rim to win. Roll the tape.
Oh, my God.
Do you know roll up the rim to win?
Is that green tea?
Yeah.
I know. You are being so nuts right now.
Do you know roll up the rim to win?
No.
Tim Hortons in Canada? It's like a thing with
a course.
Obviously not.
Well, you were in Canada for a Hallmark movie.
I don't know every slogan they ever use.
No, it's a rim thing where you roll up the rim and you can win.
Oh, the rim of what?
The coffee cup.
Oh. Ugh. This is so weird. Okay. Anyways.
Roll the tape.
I have a combined good week, bad week, like
I hate
Becca.
It already.
Good. Why?
We're going to have to roll the tape on this podcast when Kelty checks into, like, promises or whatever that is for nervous breakdowns.
You're on the
I love it. I actually love it, Kelty.
It's good.
I
roll
do.
The tape.
This is what I love about you.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm crazy.
You're just so nuts. You're zany.
Zany Kelty.
I'm fun. Roll the tape.
Okay.
Oh, I just keep petting the, like, four.
Are you on ecstasy?
You're literally on cocaine right now.
She's rubbing the fur that's on the table like it's an animal.
You have got to stop drinking that. Okay, I'm doing my good week, bad week, you dicks.
Roll the tape.
So I was in New York as well recently. And I was going out in the Lower East Side with a few friends. We were like going to some bars. I've been drinking a little bit, obviously.
Really?
Shocking, I know. So I'm walking down the street. And all of a sudden this guy like shoves into me. And then looks back and he goes... Put some clothes on, you f***ing slut. Just stares at me in the face. By the way, I was wearing pants and a long sleeve shirt. Like, I was, like, covered.
Was it a crop top?
It was a crop top.
Okay.
But I was wearing more clothes.
I'm just painting the picture.
You're not a slut because you wear a crop top.
Right. And even if I was
You're not a slut
nothing,
if you wear anything, to be honest.
You can wear a bikini top.
Right. Which I probably would have in New York.
What'd you say to him?
It's inappropriate.
So this guy's, like, wasted out of his mind.
Oh, he's wasted.
Wasted, you know, says this and then just, like, keeps on walking. So I was like, what the hell was that?
Excuse me.
Roll the tape.
And then, just like immediate karma, I turn the corner, and this same guy punches another guy in the back of the head. This guy turns around, headbutts him, and knocks him out cold. I'm like, this is immediate karma for you being a dick and trying to start a fight with every single person that you pass.
He just punched someone?
Punches the guy in the back of the head.
Why?
He's clearly under the influence.
He was just trying to be like Macho Man, picking a fight with everybody. I was like, karma.
You know what? Also, never mind. Continue.
What?
No, I just think that if you want to insult a woman, using the slut word is like the worst word you can use. Because it's like, that's not even a good insult.
No,
it's like
not.
Be like, your face looks like a horse. Like, to me, that's hurtful. But like, you don't know where my vagina's been.
Or maybe just don't say those things.
Right.
I mean,
don't say those things. But like, you don't know. You don't know me and my panties.
No, it's just like, you don't know how
I usually use a fact. If you use a factual degrading comment, it can hurt more.
That's true.
Like
it's
when the
true.
Woman was like, you'd think before Kelty hosted the Thanksgiving Day parade, she would get her roots done. Like that hurt me because honestly,
she didn't know you needed
someone
your
tweeted
roots
me
done?
That. I needed my roots done. I was too busy and it was like a big moment and I should have had my roots done. And that really did hurt me. But like if you were like, that Kelty looks like a real slut, I'd be like, you don't know me.
Yeah.
Roll the tape because I'm not.
Roll the tape. Let's see how many guys I've slept with.
Let's see. Em. Bring out the peen. Okay, continue.
That's it.
Okay. Oh. What's coming up?
Oh, well, we're so excited.
Hopefully we'll enlighten you.
Yeah, after this really.
A very, very wonderful woman,
magical
gift from God and the news woman favorite ting. She's here. Michaela. She's cool. Coming up.
Okay, what's going on? Now, here's the Lady Gang.
Our guest today is a super funny, smart, and very respected newswoman. She's had me on her show, Michaela, which airs every day on HLN, to talk pop culture before. And once I actually was in the studio with her, watched her read a teleprompter, ask herself for a safety pin, craft her own broken necklace back together, pin it on herself while being live on the national news. People, this woman is legit. She started her career in local news and then went on to co-anchor the very popular CNN show New Day. She was so good they gave her her own show, guys. She's Canadian like me, so that's extra. She's won 9 Emmy Awards. Please welcome to Lady Gang, Michaela Pereira.
OMG, there's breaking news. She's Canadian.
Yes.
How do you not know
that?
This?
Wait! What?
That's one of Kelty's defining factors of her.
It used to be that I got up early, and now that I don't get up early anymore, I have nothing, but I'm Canadian. Happy Thanksgiving.
Are we separated at birth? Because I also used to get up early, now I don't anymore.
It's amazing.
I don't know who I am.
Wasn't it horrible?
What these people have been doing after 8 o'clock at night, it's shocking.
It's shocking. The other night, I was like,
I was like, I don't have any hobbies, and all of my friends have left me because they know, like, yeah. I'm not the one
can't
to go out with you. Can't call me.
Can't
I'm
go
asleep.
To a premiere. Can't go for dinner.
Nothing. So no one calls me anymore. Yeah. So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what do people do? And then I tried to watch Netflix by myself, and I was like, this is what people do when they have time.
Well, you realize what I did the other day, too, is my life has been about the DVR. It was TiVo and I were best friends, mm-hmm. then the DVR and I were best friends, so I didn't feel like I missed out. Because I don't need to watch it when it happens.
Right.
So I'd watch all these shows that I loved like 3 or 4 days later, whatever. I don't have to do that anymore. This is time. But now I can't tell what I've watched, what I've DVR'd. I'm like, I'm time shifted myself to death. I don't even know where I belong.
You've been in this business for a very long time. Ouch. Do you still ever...
No, but it's true. It's absolutely true.
Ever still watch yourself? Like after you think, wow, I did a great show today. And do you go home and watch it?
Because we were just watching Kelty.
Yeah, Kelty just watching herself literally 5 minutes ago.
She's crushing it on Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, she is.
She just sparkles.
She really does have a twinkle, doesn't she? Mm-hmm. A sparkle and a glow.
It was so funny because yesterday our anchor Nancy was out and I got to co-host for the first time. Like, yeah, and it was, you know, listen, when you're like a little minion, it's a big deal to be like asked to step into the big chair,
and
of course.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was brought on the show with a minion. I think I told my rider that I don't appear with a minion. To answer your question, I don't very often, but every once in a while, I'll be like, that was good. It felt good. Mm-hmm. And I want to hang on to it to show mom or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'll later look at it and be like, oh, yeah, but then I should have done this. You know, you always think of ways.
Do you like, are you crushed under the weight of your own insecurity, or are you like actually as confident as you appear?
Ooh, am I crushed? I have spent more time... I probably spent enough time to like be fluent in Japanese and Greek doing self work, because I just don't believe that I should have to apologize for who I am anymore. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I don't mind admitting it. I'm 47 years old, and I now am sort of unapologetic. People told me at 40 you'd suddenly become unapologetically you.
Yeah.
You give yourself permission to just be like, this is who I am. I'm still working on me. I'm far from – I'm not even close. I don't even get close to the realm of perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm okay with my imperfections. And so I don't – ironically, the thing I hated the most wasn't how I looked, wasn't – the way I moved, it was my voice. Isn't that funny?
Interesting.
You have such a good voice, though.
I like my voice.
Your voice is beautiful.
I like my voice.
What did I just say? We were just watching the show, and I was like, why does my voice sound like that? Because it doesn't sound like that inside your head.
Well, everybody hates their voice for some reason.
Do you hate yourself when you listen to the podcast?
I sound like a moron.
No, though. You don't. Neither, none of you ladies, trust me, and I listen. You are in charge of your voices. Like, your voices are, they're like a fingerprint, right? And I think you have beautiful pipes.
Thank you. I think one of the things that makes you really special, and, you know, I watch other people that do this, that connect through a camera to millions of people and wonder, like, what is their secret sauce, is that, like you talked about imperfections, you will go on a tangent or something will go wrong in the show, or you'll be like, and you just, like, own that.
Roll
like,
it,
you welcome people into your world. You're not trying to act like you're perfect, Miss Thing, like Miss America on top of the world. Like, you're like...
In a way, that's the delight of being on table, because you kind of are given a little bit more permission to do that.
Yeah.
But I also, luckily, have an executive producer who comes from that same mindset of... The audience sees it. If a camera person walks in front of the camera, or your earring falls off when you're talking, or you spit like I did to Frank Buckley at KTLA live on the air once, you
like
have to
nice
acknowledge
loogie.
It totally in slow motion.
No.
And as it was flying across to him,
no.
I remembered, he's germophobic. This is going to be interesting.
Oh.
And the look of horror
like
on his
it was slow motion. Just going to hell.
The look of horror, I will never get it. It was fantastic. But when that kind of thing happens, I think you're insulting the viewer if you don't acknowledge it.
Right.
They see it.
Oh, yeah.
Just mention it and don't make a big deal and then keep moving.
But and I think people appreciate that, too, because it's kind of fun because it makes them feel like they're almost there in a sense.
In on
like,
it.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
In on the joke. I'm a fool.
By the way.
All right. So when I was doing my deep research for you coming on the show, I found out that your big break was hosting a show called Internet Tonight?
Well, it depends. And because I'm speaking to a fellow Canuck.
Yeah.
And happy Thanksgiving back at you.
Thank you.
I would argue my big break came in Canada. Because you know, I started my career there. And then my big break stateside definitely was. Because in a way, it's kind of like... you know, it was kind of instructive when I moved to San Francisco is where I lived. The first time, it was like I didn't exist according to the federal government of America. So I had to get a Social Security number and a driver's license and establish credit because you didn't exist if you didn't live as an American. Right. But I was like, but in the place 28 years. But it was kind of the same way with my career because people didn't really take that into consideration. And so I was kind of like this overnight success story that nobody knew about. So in a way, I think I had like two launches. You know what I mean?
But tell me about Internet Tonight. Yes. That was ahead of its time.
Yeah, what was it, number one?
Okay, so the network was called Tech TV. Mm-hmm. It was predated by, actually at the time that Internet Tonight was on, it was called ZDTV, Ziff Davis Television. And this magazine company, Ziff Davis Magazine, had launched this radio show and then this technology channel. And then in a few years, Paul Allen, one of the co-founders of Microsoft, bought it.
Okay.
And it kind of blossomed into this 24-hour technology news and technology channel. But it came right at that time in San Francisco when the internet boom.
Right.
So I moved to San Francisco in 1998, and that was when people were having these bananas parties and events. Ooh. You'd see these nerds and geeks riding around in these crazy cars and having parties with girls on their
arms. Silicon Valley.
Like, yeah. It was the early, early days of Silicon Valley. Like, it was a really bizarre and awesome time to be there. So this show, I was hired as sort of the foil to a stand-up comedian, Scott Harriet. What's up, Scott? who, he did the comedy and I sort of was the straight guy.
Yeah.
And it was a half-hour show about things that were online, either things that struck him as funny. Some of it was internet news.
Yeah.
And there was aspects of it that were a much G-rated version of, like, Tosh 2.0 in a way. Like,
you know
what I mean? And, like, you obviously heard about my embarrassing gaffe of calling Kevin Frazier the host of Internet Tonight.
No?
I called him that live on my show.
So for people that don't aren't in America, the show that I work on, Entertainment Tonight, the co-host of it is Kevin Frazier. And he's also a well-respected newsman.
And a pal of mine from a long time ago. And he was on the show, and I said, Kevin Frazier's here, host of Internet Tonight. And he's like, really? So that was embarrassing. But what was really amazing about that time was to be in San Francisco in technology, in that world, as it was, look at us all now. I mean, we're doing a podcast.
That's crazy.
And, and there's, you know, iPads and Wi-Fi and everything everywhere. Back in those days, it wasn't that way at all. And to be part of that at that time, fantastic. The other thing, and I know you'll get this, was learning how to make technology, which prior to that time was isolated to really smart people with high degrees of intelligence and many degrees from higher learning facilities. But we needed to make it accessible, entertaining, sexy, dare I say, and within reach of everyday people. You didn't want to talk down to the smarties. You didn't want to overwhelm grandma at home who was on a dial-up. You had to get that juicy part right in the middle.
Wow. If you could have only known what Twitter would create all these years later, you know what I'm saying?
Why were you not the smart people?
God damn it. Okay.
But then again, you would also be responsible for all the terrible things that are happening in the world.
Right, thank you.
That is true.
With a great light comes great responsibility. All right, so other than the spit, blooper of all bloopers live on air, because you really do a lot. That's it.
The spit is bad.
The spit's pretty bad.
The spit was pretty bad because let me just set the stage. So what happened was I would sit on the right side of the set. Frank would sit beside me, and he was in the middle of a story, and I was used to I worked with three men: Mark Kriske, the weather guy; Frank Buckley, the news guy; and Sam Rubin, the entertainment guy.
He's still
so
there.
You know, they were my middle-aged boys that I was used to their sounds and their complaints and their Lipitor and you know. Complaining about their wives, with all due respect, who I all love. But Frank made a sound I'd never heard anybody make in the middle of a read. He made this, like, guttural sound in the middle of his news read. And I looked at him like this, but when I started and looked at him, I kind of made a sound, and that's when the glob of spit came flying out of my mouth. Why were we on a two-shot, right?
It was his own fault.
It's his own fault. I blame him. But I ran off set, and the camera followed me. I'm like, no.
Wait, so did the spit land on his face?
It landed.
Ooh.
Oh, honey, it landed.
Ooh.
And I get it as a slight germaphobe.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody.
Right.
That's disgusting.
But I think that's, I mean, You know, you always worry about the microphone on as you run to the restroom and commercial break, especially right now.
Yep.
You make very good friends with the audio people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But touch, is there anything wood in the studio?
Is this touch true real?
It's probably not. This whole thing is made of, like, plasterboard.
You know, actually, my worst on-air blooper happened on your show. Do you know about this?
What?
The Emmys. Oh, we talked about this, but now you're here. This is who
she is. Is this professional as well? Is that what the podcast ends up being?
This is her. Yeah. So I've talked about this before, but since you're here, I want to, like, take you to church here for a minute. So I was on Michaela's show, and a lot of times your time slot before was a little earlier. Yeah. Now you're in the afternoon.
Exactly.
But so what would happen is I'd come in here super early. I'd tape Insider in a big rush, and then I'd have to drive to Hollywood, park at the CNN HLN building, run in, and then, like, literally sprint right to her set. Yeah. Like, there was no time.
She came flying in.
There was no time to, like, zhuzh.
No, no.
So the morning of
she always looked flawless BTW.
Yeah. No, she does.
Thanks, guys. You can stay. You're a fourth member for sure forever. So I roll in, and the Emmy nominations had just happened. And what had happened was is that the Emmy nominations did something very weird. So what happens is they announce all of the nominations for the big categories, and then, like, 10 minutes after they wrap it, they send out, like, another huge blast with the other 150 categories no one cares about. But this year in particular, they didn't, on the televised version that we all watched, like, and I was listening to the feed of on the way over, do the supporting actors and actresses for the first time really ever since I've covered the Emmys. So I get to Michaela's show, and she's like, what's the big story? And I'm like, this is us completely snubbed. Yeah. Where are the women? There's no nominations. P.S. They all got nominated. But I didn't know that at that time because I had.
We're about to launch a campaign.
Right. And
because
we're
big This Is Us fans on our show.
So this is, like, live. Oh, and because we went on before really the end of the Emmy announcements really. Like, it was, like, really live. So I'm like, what the hell happened? Oh, this is crazy. And then I'm like, and you're like, and some other big stars. And I'm like telling her before the show, I'm like, yeah, talk about Beyonce. She's going to be there. Lemonade got nominated. She's like, tell me, and Beyonce and Dolly Parton, they're all going to be at the Emmys. And I was like, I know, Beyonce's going to be at the Emmys. Guess what, guys? It was the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt satire of Lemonade by Titus Burgess or whatever his name is. They got nominated. Oh, so I literally went on your show
the
and I got
a Beyonce was there.
I got off. I got off the show and I was like, oh, good job, guys. You really pulled that together. Job. And then Twitter starts going insane.
No.
And, like, the beehive was
my God.
It was horrible. Anyway,
I don't wish that on anyone.
It's my worst nightmare. Oh. It was the most horrible. So sorry, I'm the worst newswoman of all time. But I will say it really taught me something is that sometimes you have to say no to things.
Yeah.
Because I never want to disappoint anyone. Right. I never want to say no. Right. So I was like, of course I can tape two shows and then drive to Hollywood. And then sometimes you need preparation.
So isn't that a good theme for all? I mean, I feel like that. My mom has always said that to me. You have to learn how to say no.
Yeah.
You have to learn to know your limitations. Like, yeah. And then you have to
get humiliated on live television.
Well, you weren't, though. But I, you know, because I believe that there's always something instructive to learn from any misstep. I don't like to think of them as mistakes, because any misstep or the word failure upsets me, too. But I don't want to just strike all the words from the English language. But I think we can learn from these things, you know?
Okay, so most importantly, we have so many curly-haired ladies in the Lady Gang.
Hello!
So many.
And
we cannot help them.
I love all of you.
The perfect... curly,
it is
sexy,
incredible.
Highlighted
see
hair.
Me in the morning, darling. I'm post makeup. What is my tip?
What is
my
curly hair?
Yeah, wait. Is this natural? Or are you
this is me. Now, granted, my fantastic stylist who's been doing my hair for 15 years. Karen Dick, got to give her a shout out because she's amazing. She will help the frizzazzles up here because, I literally have so much hair. She just took a bunch of it off and cut, you know, a lot of layers out of it.
I put that back in.
Yeah.
I'm using your hair.
And you're welcome. One of the things that I will tell you is you have to have conditioned hair. You have to find the right conditioner for you because your curls are just thirsty. The hair comes out of the follicle at a different angle than all you gals with straight hair. Mm-hmm. And so my hair never gets greasy, oily. I never have that, like, when you see your girlfriends are like, oh, I can't even.
We live on a dry shampoo.
Oh, no, and dry shampoo and I are, it is my kryptonite. Like, I just can't. So really well conditioned and then rotate your, and in fact, I'm all about the co-wash right now. It's a conditioning wash. Instead of using shampoo and conditioner, it's a conditioning
it's a conditioning shampoo product. It's not really, you wash your hair with this co-wash. So
isn't
it washes it
like
and conditions. Maybe. I never did explore that. Okay. So it's probably in that same
something
vein.
Like that. So it's just one thing.
I use that to wash my hair. And then right now I'm using this product by We Dad.
Okay.
It's a climate control gel because, you know, I live, you know, in an area that is dry sometimes and sometimes there's humidity. And I just sort of feel like I need to prepare these curls. Because it's even curl wrangling. People think that we have it really easy. And in a way it is. I'm not, you know, flat ironing and blowing it out. But in this curl management.
No, but it is actually amazing because it's very interesting. When I started working television and I worked with women of different heritages and cultures, there was always this thing like that the black girls had to have straight hair. Like they had to look Caucasian black girl, which is like really weird.
So the great thing is from the day that I started in television, I came as I am.
Yeah,
curvy,
love that.
Curly, brown. Biracial, adopted, like I can just keep going on. And I've come consistently that way. And there have been times when they've kind of like tested the water of trying to make me change it.
Right.
It's just who I am and I can't do anything else. I've been very lucky that only, save for one place, and it wasn't even the management, it was a makeup artist who wanted to give me like a short straight bob. I was like, yeah, no. And so I have to tell you, it has been very freeing because it is, I would say it is my one vanity, is just rocking my hair natural. And it really makes me really happy to see more and more women wearing their hair natural. Like, it just, I feel very proud of them for embracing who they are, right? When I go to the Black Journalists Association, that's where Kevin and I first met, Kevin Frazier, your colleague, I would get stopped. I've been going for maybe 15, 16 years, and I would get stopped by girls that are news anchors in other cities, and they would be flummoxed by the fact that I get to wear my hair natural.
It's crazy.
And that shouldn't be a part of the conversation.
So insane.
That's so insane.
Isn't it?
Like, is there even a conversation that men are having that is remotely that?
Do you remember that story last year before of a news anchor, I want to say in Australia, that wore the same suit every day for more than a year because he saw how much hate and vitriol his female co-anchor was getting.
Right.
You need to dress.
Good
you need
for
to,
him.
Why you wear? So he just did it as an experiment and then was like, yo, did you guys not
notice that I wore the same suit?
Amazing. Isn't that
amazing?
Yeah, and that's what we need in this whole thing. Yeah. Partners having this conversation with us and realizing what we're dealing with is ridiculous.
No, it's crazy. And like, you're so brave and it has been just awesome to get to know you and meet you and work on your show. Cause it's like,
you can't see that's the sound effect.
It is really cool because
on the elbow, it's all above board
because I see all the girls kind of coming up, you know what I mean? And they're really scared to be themselves. I'm scared to be myself. And I'm like the most cookie cutter blonde.
We have to have a sidebar here.
But I'm just saying, when
I go to the convention every year, it's interesting because there's a job fair and then, you know, there's people meeting in the lobby and lots of conversations and sort of this, it's a bit of, just old home week and running into people. But I spend a lot of time with the people that are coming up, especially the young women. And I have conversations about that. They always are like, what's the secret? How did you get to where you are? And I'm like, you need to do you. Yeah. Only ever be you. Be the best version of you, baby. But be you. Don't try to fit in. Don't try to be someone else. Just bring yourself to the job in its best possible manner. Mm-hmm. And if they don't like you, okay. Mm-hmm. But somebody else is going to love you.
Yeah.
Amen, right?
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
And that's
taking
a wrap.
To church. And that's what I said. Bye. I was like, Michaela's coming.
Bye.
She's like very inspirational. So I hope you guys are ready for that.
We get like one every 10.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's like really inspirational.
I know. Yes. We just sit here just like.
Yeah, and we're like.
I heard Ryan Murphy, and I was like, OMG.
How great
it was.
Yes, she was peeing her pants the whole time.
No, I would have been too. I think I was
dying.
In my car when I listened. It was like,
dying.
It was a fantastic conversation.
So thank you so much. Okay, let's talk about some weird news. So I have gone around the internet tonight, and I have found some crazy news headlines. And as
I thought she said nude and I
you're
things
really,
took a
I like,
turn.
I like these,
I'm sure some
us.
Have to do with nude.
I'm sure, yeah. Okay, so here we go. Rapper B.O.B. wants to use crowdfunding to prove that the Earth is flat. He started a GoFundMe campaign called Show B.O.B. the Curve that aims to help the celebrity non-scientist purchase and launch multiple satellites into space.
Somebody used to just send him up into space and look down at Earth.
How like, many people have donated?
I have no idea.
Because that's
honestly
that's
probably more than you would hope.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of people that are just like, hold on, I have more information. Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. I have a follow-up. The campaign started on Friday with a goal to raise $200,000. You're not buying a Tesla. You're buying a satellite. Okay.
Should we all guess how much they...
Oh, no. They don't... He doesn't say. Oh. UpRocks figures that it's probably enough for a small economy class satellite.
You know, something for day-to-day use.
Nothing too flashy.
When you put a satellite in space.
Also, why can't you look at any other satellite images? He has to have his own that he's made sure that hasn't been, like...
But you know what? Maybe what we can do... If it, I think we have to do this.
I love how you're
like
really trying to help B.O.B.
Really trying to help B.O.B. I really want to help this brother because
show B.O.B. the curve.
Let's get him with Richard Branson or with Elon Musk.
Yes.
Pop him in one of those tourist space travel situations and then he can go take a look for himself.
Also, wasn't his hit song like, it's the airplanes in the night sky. He already sang about airplanes.
Yeah.
Like
he's been in an airplane.
Obviously, he's infatuated with the sky.
Yeah.
Shoot him up there. You know?
Find your curve.
Oh, my God. Uh-oh, what?
Update. Uh-oh. Elena has searched the B.O.B. show B.O.B. of the curve.
Yes.
Out of the $1 million goal, we've raised $6,222.
That's still too much.
But doesn't it give you a modicum...
There's like a good group of flat earthers out there. Like that. There's like a whole subreddit.
The subreddits. You got flat earth. The flat earth community.
I'm into it.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
All right.
You like just indulging it. You'd be the one be like, here's $500.
Becca's like, I want to partner with B.O.B.
Let me just know what?
This is interesting.
Might add something. Let's just travel down this road.
All right. London's strangest museum displays Amy Winehouse's poop. Buyer beware, you have to pay extra to sniff.
What?
The Feces de Resistance in Wynne's museum is probably the jar that supposedly contains the late pop singer Amy Winehouse's poop.
Are you kidding?
People are disturbed.
Well, I don't know.
People are just so disturbed. I mean, did you see that documentary?
Is there anyone you would pay to go see their poop?
No. How many times did I say no?
Not a chance. I struggle picking up my dog's poop. And I love her more than anything.
They need to, like, do some kind of, like, a really deep research of every person that goes in there to look at that poop.
Absolutely.
They're doing weird shit real on
quick,
the side.
A real quick sanity check might be wise.
Yeah, like
mental
a background
health
check.
Issues are, you know, forefront of the nation.
Yeah,
these people
I don't
might...
think our government's too big into background checks.
We've learned anything.
Oh, it is London. Yeah.
That's true. All right, so speaking of, ooh, in the head. Man tries to steal 15 bottles of oil in his pants. An accused thief hid motor oil and DVDs in his pants when he tried to leave a Florida convenience store with these items.
Was it during the storm?
I have no idea.
That's the only thing I'd give a pass at, right?
But he really wanted those DVDs.
Yeah,
but
you don't need them during a storm. Good point.
Right. You have no electricity. And also, have you seen the DVD selection at like a convenience store?
Yeah, it's probably Joe Dirt.
Dyer.
It's like, I mean, it's nothing that you want to see now. It's like old school.
It is remarkable what people will steal.
Have you ever stolen? We've talked about this
grapes,
before in the podcast.
You know, like that kind of thing. I'm just, like, very much
when you were a kid?
You know, at the grocery store, like, just a grape. Like, I'm telling you, like,
do you love
Girl
rules?
Scout. I am a rule follower, honey.
I can tell.
Oh, my God, you can totally tell. You can totally tell. Look,
don't say it like it's a bad thing.
No,
need to have
no,
a sidebar.
It's a great thing.
Sidebar. No, I just am. In fact, I make it sound like I have not had the same partner. I've been with my better half for 13 years, going on 14, and he is more of a rule breaker than I am, and he's always just like, let's just pretend you're not so Canadian, and let's just, like, but we must, and get it, you know. He doesn't use his turn signal, which is, like, in my books, that is an egregious sin. In Los Angeles, it's everything, you know, nobody uses their turn signal.
Okay. Speaking of love, an Italian woman had a wedding ceremony to marry herself. She said she promised friends if she didn't find her soulmate by the age of 40, she would have a solo wedding. How do you say it?
This is going to be me.
When you're monogamy?
Sologamy.
Yeah, that thing.
It has no legal weight.
There's a surprise.
Did you make a promise, though, when you were young?
Like,
if I don't find someone, we're going to get married?
Yes.
Who was your person?
My best friend, Jordan Brodsky. He's homosexual. So we still could.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
If things don't work out with Zach, we could totally do it.
Okay.
Great.
Have you checked in with him recently? Is he still?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's still single.
He's still single?
Yeah. If he needed a green card, it would have been long ago that we had done this. But
isn't it usually when that promise?
No. And isn't it usually by 30? Like, that's usually like the year you do when you're younger.
Oh, that's really old.
I know.
Nobody gets married by 30 anymore.
Nobody does. And it's funny that 30 used to feel so very old. And now I look at 30
and think, oh, God, I'd be like,
Did you ever make like the high school promise? Like, if we don't find someone?
High school. No. I was the best friend to everybody because I had the beautiful, should have been a Calvin Klein model best friend. And so I was the wingman always. Okay. And so, yeah.
Cool. No. I like it. Okay. Prince's sister has come out with a big story. She says the purple one had a favorite color, orange. The sister of the late musician Prince told the Evening Standard that the Prince's favorite color was orange. Prince was known for his song Purple Rain, and he was often called the purple one.
Wouldn't you hate that if they're like, but it's always been orange? And
just because he wrote one song about purple.
But it could have been Little Red Corvette. I mean, he did. Yeah. And wasn't the symbol purple?
Yeah, yes. You always just think of purple when you think of Prince.
Yeah.
Orange is a power color, right? Interesting favorite color.
Maybe that's what some of his upset.
What's your favorite color?
I don't really have one.
Black, like your soul.
Your soul doesn't seem black to me.
Oh my gosh, thank
you.
I'm an actress.
Oh, you're doing very well then.
Jack, do you have a favorite color?
Pink.
Cute.
It is?
There's a lot of pink in the studio, and it's a very pretty pink. What do you call it?
Hello, I branded this brand.
Boom.
She's the brand.
Ballet blush? What is it?
We call it Lady Gang pink.
It's like a Lady Gang pink. Yeah, it's like a millennial pink.
Do you have a favorite color?
It's a millennial pink. Every day I have a different one. Today's yellow, as you can tell.
Yellow's my power color.
It's a power color.
Mm-hmm. We're to all my additions. Okay, next. An 8-year-old drove himself to McDonald's.
I love this.
An 8-year-old in Ohio drove himself and his sister to McDonald's and his sis brought sis along.
Younger
after
sister?
Their parents went to sleep. He said he learned how to drive by watching YouTube.
That's incredible.
Oh my gosh.
Again, the internet.
Internet tonight.
I'm telling you, it's you have brilliant. To watch what's happening on the interwebs.
That's amazing.
What did he order though? Did he get the kids' meal? Because if you drive yourself, you can't qualify for a kids' meal anymore.
Yeah, who's at the thing, like, taking his order of this child?
I think that they called.
Does he have money?
Did he have money? Did the
like
right
with the employee
must sure. have?
The employee, I think the employee called
and said, like, there's a 8-year-old. Can you touch?
Maybe
the
it was
pedals?
A big kid. Well, again,
in a Mini
it's hard
Cooper,
to say.
You could.
In a Mini Cooper, yeah, the seat right
I mean,
here.
Barely.
Have you ever tried walking through a drive-thru when you're drunk?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us everything.
You have to really charm the people.
Is there a sensor on the driveway?
No, they just see you in the camera, the person taking the order, and you have to really, sometimes they'll say no.
They just won't even do it.
How many times have you done this, Becca?
Several. Do you hit up a different one each time?
Because I don't want to stay in the Uber. No, it's usually the McDonald's on Vine.
Okay. Well, they might be hip to your game now.
Why, there's also Uber like a ton of like.
Well,
other
I don't. Sometimes the Uber drivers get really angry if there's a long line and they.
But that's how you got to buy the Uber driver a meal. Yeah.
Well, we offer. But I would just rather be independent and just walk through, and it sometimes works and it sometimes doesn't.
Because you know you could just go inside.
I know, but I don't like
going
inside.
Or it might be too late.
No. Especially like that one. That one's very scary. The parking lot is safer than inside.
100%.
100%.
There's always
there's
Hollywood.
Like, there's like teenagers plotting so many bad things at McDonald's.
That's true. Mm-hmm. All right, last one. The thimble will no longer pass go in Monopoly. The Monopoly board game is getting a revamp. Makers of the game are holding a contest and letting voters, it's a horrible idea, Monopoly, choose the next generation of game pieces.
Is only the thimble that's going or all of them?
No, the voters rejected the thimble.
So are they choosing new ones? Because it's going to be a free, it's
going
to be a
joke. What would you put in the new Monopoly
Probably
game?
A Kimoji.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
I put my own headshot. What are you talking about? Of course.
I mean, in a way, I could see the argument because if you gave a 12-year-old a thimble today, or even a 25-year-old a thimble, they'd be like, "And this is what?"
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you could put an
what
item,
are the other
in...
things they don't. Does anybody know what an iron
course?
Is? Nobody's ironing their clothes.
Do people not iron? I hate ironing.
No,
so I just
you
don't.
Use wrinkle release.
Yeah, yeah. Down. The best invention
ever.
In life.
Oh my God, travel.
Ever. Get
not
it
a sponsor, please sponsor us.
Yes.
Down the wrinkle release would be great.
I have it in travel sizes.
Oh, yeah. There's the top hat.
Yes. Again. Yeah. They could change that to a fedora.
No, it's good.
I mean, if we just want to update things.
And then there could be like a little fuckboy running behind Fedora. It's like, and he's living on, where's he living? On Baltimore or wherever it is?
We can just turn this into like all of my least favorite things. We can have an e-cig. We can have a hoverboard. We can have a Fedora.
There is a skateboard. Wasn't there a skateboard?
We can have a bottle of Jägermeister.
It's a roller skate.
Yeah,
it's a roller skate. Anyway,
not even a rollerblade would be.
I'm going to wrap this all up. I did do this on purpose, but I'll wrap it up with a small story. When I was a child, I was such a loser that I used to play Monopoly by myself, and I was all the pieces.
She would marry herself.
I would walk.
You would have a solo
Monopoly.
You played by yourself.
Like I'd be like, okay, and then I'd get up, and then I would play this person's term.
Did you take different personas each time?
Probably.
You know there are games to play by yourself.
Yeah, solitaire.
Yeah. That's it.
You don't have to be so depressed. On that note, when we come back, Michaela's going to help answer your questions because obviously she's someone who plays Monopoly by herself.
Hey, ladies!
Funky.
Ask the Lady Gang.
And we're back.
And we're back. Before we start, ask the Lady Gang if you guys want 20% off at jackvanek.com. Use code Lady Gang and get yourself something sassy. So, have you listened to our podcast before? Do you know what the part is? You're going to help us give advice.
We give terrible advice.
Are you ready?
I'm not sure my advice is very good either.
Okay, I mean, it's going to be better than ours no matter what. Okay. Our first question comes from Josephine. Josephine says, my boyfriend and I have been together for a little bit over a year. To me, it's very important to show your love to someone in other ways, not only by saying it, and my way of showing it is through surprises. I've surprised him with secret dinners, weekend trips, gifts, and cooking classes, but I never seem to get anything back. I'm not asking for an around-the-world trip, but is it too much for me to ask for some kind of surprise, even if it's just a home-cooked meal or a picnic by the ocean? I know that love is given and received in different ways depending on who you are as a person, but I just feel like I put in way more time and effort into this relationship.
Mm, I know that feeling. I've been there myself. I love my birthday. My better half has historically not loved his birthday, and so I do these big things, and he would be miserable.
Right.
And it took me 3 or 4 years into the relationship to realize he doesn't like this. And why am I doing something for him that he doesn't like? And so we've flipped the script, and now he makes a big deal about my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Josephine, first of all, take a breath, and you're going to be okay, because it's a year is still a drop in the bucket, right? It's a drop in the bucket. One of the things that I learned recently, and I don't want to use that California lingo, but I'm going to use it because I actually think it really makes sense that people have different love languages. Mm-hmm. And some people, like you and I, like a fuss and like a surprise. And other people, they want to be there and show support and wash your car or fill up your gas tank for you or walk you to your car every morning if you get up early in the middle of the night or, you know, be really, really gentle with your parents. I mean, men often have a different way of showing their affection for us. And I think we have to be a little more open to listening to what that is. The other thing is they don't read our minds.
I know. It's so annoying.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah.
They don't read our minds. And we can't read theirs, which makes it confounding because we try, don't we? We really do. So I would say maybe you can have a conversation and let him know. Like my favorite flower is the peony. Second favorite is the stargazer lily. He once gave me carnations, which I believe are not a flower.
Carnations are no.
They're not a flower.
Barely a flower.
Not a flower. Not a flower.
She gives your friends in the second grade.
I hate them so hard. Like, okay, now I'm back. See how my voice went there?
Yes.
And so when I'm around flowers, I'm like, oh, look, my favorite.
Oh my God.
Do you want me to tattoo it on your hand?
I keep joking, and 13 years in, he's never given me a peony, but he knows because he'll walk by them and be like, oh, look, your favorite flower. And I'm like, ah, at least you got it. So it's, you know, it's become kind of the show. Josephine, you're going to be okay, but maybe have a conversation.
Expectations lead to disappointments.
Oh, yeah.
My husband is a doer. Like, he'll pay bills and, like, make sure that, like, things are done or drive me to the airport. Like, that's how he shows love, but he's not like a talker.
A vocal, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so every day I look at him and I'm like, do you love me? Because I want him to, like, start a sonnet from, like, Shakespeare and be like, there's no one as beautiful as you, my love. When I fell in love, like, all of these things, and he doesn't. Like, I had to teach him how to write me a card because, like, I just need, like, a written statement of love.
Or when he didn't get you something for your birthday or something because he said he didn't want anything.
Yeah, I was like, I'm turning 30, I want nothing. And then I got nothing, and then I cried for, like,
But okay, so here's the other thing, too, and this is to my girls that are a little younger than me, is, like, you can cut yourself out of a lot of grief if we stop playing that game. Mm-hmm. I don't want anything. That's not what you want.
You gotta tell them exactly what
you
want.
And just if you want, like, I'd really like to spend time with the friends, and I'd like a nice dinner out. And, you know, there's something that I've been looking at that I like. Like, why this whole subterfuge? It just, it takes years off your
life. What an immature brat.
No, wait, I've done it too. I've done it too. But it just is a waste of time, I think, and energy.
Yeah. I mean, I think the love language thing, I didn't believe it for so long.
I didn't either.
I rejected it for so long until I met my husband and I realized that we were not speaking the same love language. And there was a lot of frustration there because we definitely show our love differently and we want to receive love very differently. And it's all just communication.
And is it better now that you... Right.
So much better. And for me, I was very stubborn also because I don't think gift giving... is a way to show love.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know that it is because in his mind, it's not about the gift. It's about me being somewhere, seeing something.
And thinking of him.
And thinking of him and making the effort to take it back to him and, like, make the thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So against my will, for probably a year, I would see something and be like, I'm going to buy this stupid whatever it is, and I'm going to bring it home.
I'll show him.
I started realizing...
I'll show him how I'm attacking.
And that's exactly what I was trying to do, but then I started realizing that he was genuinely really touched by these little acts of kindness, and it was little things, like not buying him the world.
Right.
So then I was thinking, this is actually a nice feeling to make somebody feel this way.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
It feels good.
It does, and I'm so stubborn, but so I started doing it, and it's nice, and he knows how to do it for me, and... begrudgingly, he does things like fill my gas tank.
There you go. And I think also just like his last note with that, if you do have a conversation with your boyfriend, like don't have high expectations because maybe his surprise will be like bringing you home ice cream one day that you weren't expecting. And like,
or you're lactose intolerant.
And he doesn't know at all. But like maybe he's just not good at that and you should, you know. It's hard for guys sometimes.
It is. Mm-hmm.
It is. Okay, second question comes from Anonymous, which means it's juicy. she says, my maid of honor and I recently had a huge falling out. Recently, I'd seen a new side of her that I hadn't cared for and morally couldn't agree with, and it was just not working out for us. Aside from that, I am now needing a new maid of honor, and I feel so conflicted. I previously asked three other girls to be my bridesmaids and would prefer keeping them in their current roles. We just aren't that close. But now I need somebody to fill the maid of honor role. It's very important to me, and I like the idea of having someone to help me plan and throw a bachelorette, etc. I just don't feel close enough to ask anyone else, and it feels super weird to me. The girls I am contemplating asking are good friends of mine and super kind and caring, but just not maid of honor level. It really hurts me feeling that I don't have that someone, and the thought of it has stressed me the F out.
Here is your first solution, a gay of honor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be like the perfect solution because,
really?
You know, I think there's so many non-traditional ways of doing things now that I think that we're in a time where you could absolutely do that. Because I understand that's such an important thing for some women and you don't want to. And here's the other thing. They probably would be really upset if you had somebody jump the line.
Yeah, don't jump the line.
If you jump the line, you're in trouble. Because my gut was going to be to say, just have the three ladies. Just have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it sounds like the maid of honor is really anonymous, if it's your real name. I think if you have a gay friend or maybe, you know, it would be a really nice touch is an auntie or maybe your grandmother or something like that. Somebody that's really a mentor, somebody that's really important to you that may not traditionally get a chance to be a bridesmaid or a maid of honor because they're an older woman, which I think is ludicrous. But that might be a good way to go.
Yeah.
Also, other than your future husband, who do you call when you need help or advice or, you know, for me, it was a no-brainer. My sister's the person that I call when something good happens, when something bad happens, when I need advice. Who do you lean on? And that would be very telling, I think, because you are going to need some support. It's really shitty planning a wedding.
Yeah.
Good luck. Yeah. Happy wedding day.
All right. Our last question comes from... Joanna says, have you ever been cheated on and how did you handle it? Was it an easy decision or did you have to really sit and think about it? I really want to get rid of this heavy weight of baggage, but I'm just not sure how. Side question is, how do you cope with jealousy? Do you try and hide it? Are you verbal and vulnerable about it or do you just look past it?
I can speak to the second part because I I don't know that I've been cheated on, but, and I think, you know, how we all get like, you know, it's almost like beer muscles of this hour. I don't know. And I hope that never happens because I think we respect each other and I don't think he's not the type of man to do that. I think jealousy is such an awful feeling. Mm-hmm. I remember it in the times that it has come up, it has literally felt like a green monster mm-hmm. in my chest. And I would be like, whoa, I don't like you. Let's get you out of there. I can recognize it. When there are emotions that are rising up in me that I don't like, or there are characteristics that I don't like, I try to look at them and try to understand where they're coming from and then send them packing, because I think if we just stifle them, mm-hmm. they can grow.
And I think also I don't, obviously none of us understand exactly what she's talking about. Yeah. Maybe she's been cheated on and that's why she's jealous or something. But we've had a bunch of posts in our Facebook group about, you know, girls that are looking at their current boyfriends like exes, like on social media and stuff like that, and comparing themselves to them and then therefore like getting jealous about whatever that they had before them. So if that's something that's happening with like an ex or something, you just need to like not allow yourself to do that. Mm-hmm. But then if it has something to do with your current boyfriend being unfaithful, that's like a whole
other monster
that has something to do with your jealousy.
Yeah, I think with the whole, when people cheat, it's not about their partner, it's about themselves.
Right.
They're looking for something, they're trying to fill some sort of insecurity or void that they feel about themselves, not that they're not getting from you. So if you're cheated on, it's really hard to sit there and not beat yourself up or mm-hmm. say, if I were prettier, if I were thinner, if I were better, like this wouldn't have happened. Because the bottom line is, in my opinion, if you're a cheater, you're a cheater. It doesn't matter if you're with Cindy Crawford or whatever it is. And we see this all the time in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, how could that person cheat on that beautiful woman? The reality of it is it has nothing to do with the beautiful woman. It's about the man and his demons or whatever he's going through. So that's the first thing. And then as far as jealousy goes, the way that I've handled it with relationships has been, you cannot control what someone else is going to do. You can only control your reaction to it. So it's kind of like what you were saying about you take stock in it and see the green monster, but mm-hmm. then you have to say, this is not serving me. This is not going to change the outcome. Yeah. It's only going to hinder me and take
energy. Not attached to those feelings, because if the more time you spend on it, the more energy, and then
you
it becomes it like becomes a force. Yes.
Oh, God. Yes. You guys are such little Oprahs. I love it.
No.
Here's my advice. Here's me. Living well is the best revenge. If you're jealous of someone else, you just live your life and make it so fabulous, and by the time you look back and say, am I still jealous of this person, your life will be so radical that you'll be like, why did I even care? Like, you have to make your – So when I got cheated on, I was really sad, and I did all the terrible things, passive-aggressive tweets, I wrote a book about it, had blogs, dragged him through the mud. I mean, I did all the things.
So you adulted completely.
Yeah, I did not adult. Totally. I was, like, the worst. Like, there was, like, a meme on the internet that was like, I'm Kelty, Colleen, before I was married, don't break up with me. Like,
you're
terrible.
Taylor Swift. Oh,
wow. I'm a Taylor Swift. Wow. And he deserved it.
And it was during Twitter, so it was kind of recent. Right. I didn't want to say that out loud, but I just realized.
Isn't Twitter a decade old, though?
Yeah, it was like it was a decade. It was early Twitter.
This wasn't quite a long time.
I was thinking maybe she was 17. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, no.
So,
this is
the. But here's the thing. The person I got cheated on with was, like, really cool. Like, so beautiful, like you were saying, like so beautiful, had the cool clothes, was like in the cool group, had like the cool Hollywood friends. And then I felt so horrible. So I was like, I'll never be cool like that. And instead of just like festering in my own insecurity, I was like, you know what? I don't need to be a part of your cool group. I'm going to make my own cool group. It took me a decade, but like now my life is so cool that I'm like, oh, how's your like cool group of people doing? What are you guys doing?
Also, nothing? Make it that much harder that he's doing nothing with his life.
Right. Well, it's extra fun. But, like, I'm just saying, like, I use jealousy. I get jealous a lot. Not a lot, but, like, I do get jealous, and I use it as motivation for my own life. Like, I don't sit and try to take someone else down. I sit and try to build myself up so that I don't have to care. You know what I mean? I try to make myself just better than the person I'm jealous with.
We can sidebar on this one. Because this is what I worry about. I understand what you're doing, but you do know that people that are behaving in such a way to hurt someone like that or trying to reduce you,
Right.
Right. And they're trying to control you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in a way, they're controlling. You're doing something in reaction to them instead of doing something for yourself and carrying on and just being like, whatever.
Yeah.
And carrying on your own life. And by the way, being fabulous.
It's very hard to I understand. Not see when people are like trying to take you out.
Well, no, I got to tell you the blinder thing. Blinders. I was a sprinter. I know you see it when you look at the shape of me. I was a sprinter in high school. And I remember the best advice that my track coach said was don't run your own best race. Don't, if you start looking at them, you'll go out of your lane, you'll get disqualified. And I think that a lot about life because there are times when they get the gig or they get married or whatever, and you're just like, I want to, my path is my path, their path is their path. Totally. I mean, that, I just little, you know.
I like it.
I've started telling myself, because as an actress, there's no world in which I'm not jealous. Like, it just, that's just what I've decided to do with my life, which is ridiculous. But in order to cope with it, I've started telling myself there's enough room for everyone.
But there is, though.
And there is, and I believe
it. You don't
it.
Even have to, that's not even a fake narrative you have to tell yourself. There is absolutely room for all of us.
It's true.
There's room at this table. And when I say the table, it's the metaphor. But, I mean, absolutely there is.
Kevin, our mutual friend, told me once something really funny about cheating that I think we should end on.
Yes.
He was like, even if you're Beyonce, someone's still going to be tired of effing Beyonce.
That's so
you know
true.
What I mean?
It's so true.
It's not about
so you. Uplifting.
Yeah. AKA everybody gets cheated.
I'm going to go cry now.
Everybody to their corners.
On that note, good luck out there, girls. Michaela, thank you so much for coming. Tell everyone where they can watch your show and where they can follow your beautiful social media.
All right. HLN, Headline News that you might have known it as. It's right in the cable areas near MSNBC and CNN and Fox, all those news stations.
No my big show, deal.
But it's the good one.
My show is on from noon to 2 Pacific time, 3 to 5 East Coast time. I can't do the math. All my wonderful people in the center of the country and in Canada. And I am at Michaela on Twitter, Michaela HLN on Instagram, which I love, and Michaela Pereira on Facebook.
Amazing.
Yay. You didn't ask any of the tough questions? Woo! I was so scared.
What was the tough question?
We're on a tough podcast.
Do we have tough ones?
What's the toughest question?
Your Hollywood heartbreak.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God.
You're ready.
Which one did you prepare that you want to share?
Yeah.
We need to do this.
Okay. Yeah. The words to live by, I think it is.
Oh, yeah. Your mirror message.
Mirror message. And I stole this from, I didn't steal it from my mom because she gave it to me. I was leaving my mother's house just recently, and on the front door, I should first say, I'm a woman of faith. I am flawed beyond compare, but I'm a woman of faith. On the front door of the house were three words: thanks, wow, help. And I was like, oh my God, is it happening? Do I need to get mom help? What is happening? Is he holding you against his will? Is dad going crazy? Like, what is happening? Mom, please come explain this. And she just started laughing. She goes, I want a reminder to say thanks to God, to say wow at all the beauty that is out there and the goodness of life. And to ask for help my day. And I even get goosebumps talking about it now. And I see that all the time. Thanks, wow, help.
Wow. That's a good one.
Love it. We should put it on the wall.
I'm into it. Should.
Yeah.
We love it.
Ainsley would be very happy.
Mirror message. I love that you're such a fan that you were like, hello, we need mirror.
I was holding you. I'm a role follower.
No, the girls in the Facebook group are like, why do you always ask the same question? So we've been switching it up.
I
made an error.
I just like to know my rules.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
What? I don't believe that was in there.
Thanks, help.
It might be an R.
Thanks, wow, help.
Thanks, or wow, thanks, help. You can change it. Okay.
I like thanks, wow, help.
Thanks, wow, help. All right. Thank you for being here and taking time out of your busy life to come be with us.
You really are.
And we will. Oh, wait. Actually, follow us on Instagram at The Lady Gang, at Becca, at Jack Vanek, at Kelty Knight. We have very exciting news about our holiday lady box that's coming out in the next few weeks. So stay tuned to our newsletter. Make sure you visit us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe because the new iOS update might have unsubscribed you, so make sure you go in and check that you're still subscribed to us. And that's it. See you next Tuesday. Yay! Woo!
Join the Lady Gang every Tuesday at iTunes and at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Thanks for listening.